Diana Abu Jaber is best known for her novels about the lives of Arab Americans, Crescent and Arabian Jazz, and her memoir, The Language of Baklava. But her newest novel, Origin, is a literary thriller about a series of baby killings. Diana, why did you decide to change genres?
Well, it was not a conscious decision. I really never thought that I would try a different genre. I've always been a big fan of literary fiction, and that was what I was mostly reading. But then one morning I woke up, this was in our house in Multnomah Village, and I had this woman's voice in my head, and it was very powerful. It was like I knew this person. And she was telling me her story about being raised without any knowledge of her biological parents and her theories about her own personal origin. And I knew I had to tell her story. And it turned out, as I was writing it, that it had to be a thriller. So it kind of came to me.
I love it. Writers and schizophrenics, they're the only people who listen to the voices in their heads.
Always.
But somehow writers get away with it.
Yeah, yeah. People just don't notice that we're crazy too. So, or maybe they do.
So in Origin, there's a series of deaths that are attributed to SIDS, and the protagonist decides on the basis of just a funny smell that there's something more sinister at work. How much research did you have to do for this character and the whole SIDS-related plot?
A lot of research. That was something that was very daunting. And I had started it pretty much right from the beginning of writing this book. I began investigating, well, forensics. That was a big part of the investigation that I was doing. And looking into the science of investigation, I had never been, say, a big viewer of CSI television or any of that kind of programming. So I didn't know what I was getting into. And
that was probably a good thing, because then you're starting fresh without the stereotypes from those shows.
Exactly. I was worried at first, and I thought, well, maybe I'll seem too much like a greenhorn. But actually, I think there's something very freeing about not being a part of the recurring kinds of storylines and doing something just a little bit different. So it was hard, but it was exciting, too.
How long did it take you to write this book?
Gosh, about 3.5 years. And it was hard. It was really hard. I had to write a plot, which was kind of new in my experience.
Oh, that's right. You did literary stuff before. It
right?
Didn't really have to have that much of a plot.
No, it's true. It's like you write characters and you understand who the characters are, and then the plot kind of fills in around the cracks, you know. It's like that's the gravy. But with a genre book, a thriller, the plot is really important. And I knew that I wanted it to be a real page turner. I wanted it to be suspenseful. And also that I couldn't give away the ending.
Right.
So that was really challenging for me.
Well, you did a good job with the page turning, because it was one of these books that I fell asleep reading it because I couldn't keep my eyes open any longer.
Oh, great. Not because,
and then first thing in the morning, as soon as I woke up, I had the book again, you know.
It was beautiful.
Yeah.
Oh, good. I love that. I love that. People tell me they couldn't put it down.
Now, Lena, the main character, believes she was raised by apes at the beginning of the book. And you take something that could have been kind of a cartoon-like situation, and it's believable and it's even touching. So what does this ape mother represent to you? Because I think there's something about her that, you know, you kind of go, oh, yeah.
Oh, good. I'm glad to hear that. For me, I've always been very much an animal fanatic. You know, I have pets, and I feel very connected to the animal world. And I also am working on a kind of theme of environmentalism and conservation. And And in Origin, Lena is so much in tune with her senses, partially because she has this belief about her origins, that she kind of grew up out of the animal world. And so she never lost that beautiful, natural intimacy with the world that so many of us do when we enter so-called civilization. And I think that the ape mother, for me, is a very primordial kind of image. It's our true Eve. You know, this is our origin. And we're another animal among animals. And that need to love and preserve and protect our animal origins is very much a part of this novel.
Well, it really came through. Your book is set in Syracuse, New York in the winter, and I guess you spent part of your childhood in Syracuse?
Yes, I pretty much grew up in Syracuse.
And Lena kind of struggles for scraps of early childhood memories, Lena, the main character, and she tries to piece together her own origins. Did the setting help you invoke memories?
I think writing from Syracuse is very evocative for me. It's such a strong, powerful presence in my imagination. I've moved a lot since leaving Syracuse and lived all over the United States. Outside of Syracuse, Portland is probably the place that I have lived the longest, definitely the place I've lived the longest.
And you made the mistake of moving away.
I know. Can you believe that? Well, we still have our Portland. Every fall we come back to Portland, so we still have that piece of it, definitely.
Oh, good.
Yes, yes. We'll never really leave Portland ever. It will always be another one of our important homes. But Syracuse, I'm probably never going to live in Syracuse again. And yet, it's really very poignant to me. And I think it's perhaps almost my idealized home in a funny way. It's the place I return to imaginatively. And perhaps it's because I have that distance from it.
Well, you did a great job kind of getting that bleak winter landscape there.
That's so important to the story. It's those long shadows and that cold and that snow. I wanted it to be a real challenge to these characters. And it's a reflection of a kind of winter of the spirit that they're experiencing in this story. You know, everyone's kind of chilled and no one's really eating, you know, the way they are in my other books. This is not a food book. This is a surviving the winter book. And it's part of the plot.
Yeah. Well, the other thing that this book is not, is it's not an Arab American book. Have you gotten a lot of feedback from your readers about kind of not having an Arab American character?
You know, it's very interesting. I've heard from a few people now about that, and some of my Arab American readers are not so sure. Some of them were really hesitant. When they first got the book, they were saying, oh, I don't know if I'm going to like this. This isn't our cultural angle. And so far, I'm knocking wood, people have really been extremely happy and welcoming after they overcome their initial hesitation. But it's almost like I had to break through some of that early uncertainty, you know. And I think whenever an author tries on a really different identity or way of writing, sometimes I think the readers have to, you know, question it a little and sort of decide if they're going to come with you or not.
Right. But it's probably really freeing for you, because I could see how it would be confining to be kind of pigeonholed into that. She's an Arab American writer.
Exactly. You know, you always want to do something new. And I have this real horror of writing the same story over and over again. You know, I really like to try on new stuff and make myself take risks, do things that I'm afraid of doing, just because I want to see if I can do it. And that was definitely the case with Origin.
Oh, so was your publisher and your agent and everybody a little bit leery about you taking on this kind of project? It's like, the other things worked. We made money on those.
Right, right, right. It's so funny. My editor said that she spoke with the editor of Khaled Hosseini, who wrote The Kite Runner.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, she asked his editor, what would you do if Khaled Hosseini told you he wasn't going to write about Afghan people anymore? And she said his editor looked kind of horrified and said, I wouldn't let him. So she wanted to impress upon me how liberal and how brave she was being on my behalf. But I know they were all a little hesitant and a little bit nervous. And, you know, I feel so lucky because they've all really stepped up to the plate and just supported Origin 100%. So.
Well, it is a good book because you succeeded at what you set out to do. When I interviewed Richard Ford, who wrote Independence Day, and asked him what advice he'd give to aspiring writers, he said that the best thing one could do is try to kill that desire to write. Do you ever feel that way about writing? And what advice would you give to aspiring writers?
Well, I do understand that impulse. And definitely, there's always a point about two-thirds of the way through every book I'm writing where I start fantasizing about going to work on a fishing boat and having a completely career change identity shift, you know, because writing is hard and it's solitary. And especially if you're someone like myself who's very sociable, I like to play and I like to go out and eat, and it's tough for someone who doesn't really like to closet themselves, but it's a wonderful, wonderful life, and I feel enormously lucky to be able to write and have readers. And, you know, for advice, really my advice to an aspiring writer is to have a happy life, to do the things that make you happy, and to go toward the things that nourish your soul, whatever those things are, because as happy and as centered as you can be in your day-to-day life, that will reflect and nourish your creative life. Those of us who try to, you know, commit to Spartan regimens and regimes of writing and sitting at desks, I suppose sometimes that works, but for me, it never has. So sometimes I write when I'm cooking. Sometimes I write when I can't sleep at night. And mainly what I do is I see my friends and I have a great life with my husband. And, you know, the writing is the thing that I do alongside enjoying myself. And that's what I think we should all do.
I'm talking with Diana Abu-Jaber about her newest book, Origin. In 2003, you did an interview with Terry Gross, and you spoke about feeling that Arab Americans had been targeted right here in Portland. Was that a factor for you moving away? And do you think you're in Florida now, right?
Yes.
Is it any different there?
Well, it's different. it was not a factor in our decision to try on Miami. Basically, Miami came about because my parents moved to South Florida. And so we just started to feel like we wanted to spend more family time. But there was a kind of backlash that happened after 9/11, and I think it happened all over the country. You know, it was something that we experienced right from the get-go. My husband and I got married just a day or two before 9/11, and we saw it on our honeymoon. We heard strange reports and comments, and I don't think Portland was in any way unique. In fact, I think, if anything, Portland is probably one of those places where things were a lot more enlightened.
That's what I would have thought, too. I was actually even surprised that you had, you know, felt like there was a backlash. But I suppose, as enlightened as we are, there are people here that...
yes. They're everywhere. They're everywhere. But that moving part-time to Florida has really underscored how enlightened Portland is in that respect. Florida is, it's a red state, you know, and so you do have more resistance to diversity, I think. I'm wild generalization here, but Portland was extremely open and welcoming, and people invited me to speak to their book groups and their church gatherings and their interfaith community days, and so it turned out to be actually a very positive experience once some of the, you know, crazy factor disseminated.
In that same interview, you spoke about how your father felt pressured not to speak out against the war in Iraq. And as Americans have become more critical of the war and the Bush administration, has this changed at all?
That's a good question. I think that I've seen a kind of, I don't know if I'd say anxiety, but definitely a carefulness among the people in my family and the Arab American community. There's a sense of wanting to be very sensitive to what happened with 9/11 and then with the Iraq war following on that. I think there's a lot of ambivalence because the Arab Americans I know feel very strongly that they want to be identified with America first, and they're incredibly patriotic people who feel just devastated by the attacks on both sides. So,
well, yeah, it seems like there's been like a propaganda campaign that's anti-Arab in a way that I just find horrifying, but it's got to have been difficult on, you don't look what we classically think of as an Arab, but your father's from Jordan, right?
That's right. That's right. And for Dad, he really sees himself as a kind of ambassador, a cultural ambassador. So he likes to invite people to his home and he feeds them Middle Eastern food and he plays the music for them. And his mission really is to try and enlarge the perspective that Americans get on the Middle East. You know, he wants people to know, as do I, that the Middle East and the Arab community isn't just political, you know, that it's this big, rich, beautiful culture, and that it's human and humane and just as vital as any culture in the world. But that's a huge project and it takes a lot of work. So we're all kind of busy working on that.
I'll bet. Yeah. Now, do you still have relatives in Jordan?
We do, yes. All of my dad's family, especially the older generation, are still in Jordan. A number of the younger people are moving over here now and are being raised as Americans, but my dad's brothers and all of their families are still there.
Yeah, we just recently had a woman from Iraq come and visit here in Portland, and she's currently living in Amman, Jordan. So she was talking about what it's like for the Iraqi refugees in Jordan. So it's got to be, have you heard a lot about that from your relatives?
You know, not a lot. I think that a number of the refugees in Jordan are living almost in their own communities. And so my family tends to be, you know, they're sort of city dwellers and they're in their own sphere, if you will. But I know that they're very distressed about the war in Iraq and really unhappy with the way things have been going and really working hard to establish more of a dialogue with the United States and to work for peace. Jordan's in a tricky spot because they're very, very Western and very American, but they're also Arab, and so their sympathies are kind of spread among different areas.
Yeah. So have you been back to Amman?
Yeah, we were just there a couple of years ago. We try to go pretty regularly, every other year or so, and we did a tour, my husband and I. We went to a number of different Jordanian universities and talked to the students there, and they were wonderful. They were so welcoming. You know, they asked us questions about the American attitudes towards the Arab countries, but mostly they were just really curious and really open. And a lot of them said they wanted to come visit. So
you find yourself being an ambassador for the Arabs here in the U.S. and for the Americans over there.
Always, you know, no matter what, it's the multicultural experience.
You know, I could almost see why you would write a book that didn't have an Arab American component to it, because this would be a way of getting away from the types of questions that I'm asking you right now, where you know, it's. I could see you would want a piece of your life that wasn't about that.
Well, it's funny. It's definitely a desire to enlarge the conversation. You know, I love having political conversations, absolutely. But I also wanted to try on different ideas and different identities. And even so, I feel that origin is still working a lot of my fundamental issues, you know. I would say that the question of identity is really central to all my books. In the earlier books, it took on a kind of cultural guise, if you will. And in Origin, the question of identity is more about your parentage and simply knowing where you came from. For someone like myself, who was told that I'm Arab and yet who looks American, that was a very big question. Who am I? And how does any of us decide what our place in this world is, or what our truest, most intrinsic identity is? Where do we get that from?
Right. I have a friend who is very, very Mexican looking, but his mother is like blonde haired and blue eyed, and he doesn't see himself that way at all. And it was such a shock for him when he moved from Portland to LA, because the attitudes of people there, you know, they would come up and start speaking Spanish to him.
Wow.
And he would just, you know, this blank stare. So yeah, I think a lot of us have those kinds of issues about origins and how do we establish identity. And the main character in this book really, she tries not to spend time thinking about it, but she can't avoid it because it's part of solving the puzzle in the story. So that was a great way of forcing her to face the issues she didn't want to face.
That's great. It's been very exciting to me to have a lot of my readers tell me afterwards that they were adopted and that they really identify with that question, that even adult adoptees who came to grips with their different experience, a number of them have told me that they still feel a certain kind of ambivalence about seeking out their biological parents. There's always this worry that you're hurting your adoptive parents.
The adoptive mother was such a great neurotic character. She's like, you really immediately you kind of draw away from her because this woman is, you know, she's so self-centered and everything. But by the end of the book, you can understand a lot of, you know, why she was the way she was.
Good. I want her to be eventually sympathetic, but she's a tough cookie.
She is. One of the things that I noticed about the book, especially after talking with you and realizing how political you are, I mean, it's almost like you have to be given your background, that this book is in a bubble. There's no politics there. Was that difficult for you to kind of like weed that out of the way that you were thinking about things when you were writing this?
Well, it's something that I decided what I would do is I would take the politics and sort of my social agenda, and I pushed it to the backdrop of the story. So instead of making it a part of the actual plot, what I do is I work it in a kind of low-key, backdrop kind of way, where I'm talking about the need for conservation and environmentalism, and it's sort of sneaking in through the cracks. And what I was really aware of with Origin was that I wanted to entertain people. I wanted to give them a great read and for it to be a lot of fun. And then if I could kind of sneakily work these other agendas in. And so you'll notice that there are kinds of intimations of like how we tend to villainize our activists and how we tend to assume that anyone who's left wing is secretly a terrorist. And, you know, it's not part of the plot, but
it's there in people's attitudes, yeah, and the assumptions that they make. And yeah, the environmentalism, for anybody who's worried about this, it's not preachy at all.
Yay.
It's extremely subtle. But, you know, it all you do is like describe the lake,
right,
and there it is. You don't have to say anything else because it speaks for itself.
Yeah. It's, to me, I think it's almost the ideal way that I want to read books. I would like to be entertained first, and then if they can, by stealth, educate me, you know, or give me some substance or something to think about, that's great. But I don't really want to notice it. I want it to sneak in around the edges.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you accomplished it. It
Yay!
Was really... that's got to have been really tough. I know the first instinct has got to be to try to hit people over the head with an idea, then to try to, you know, pull back from that. You probably had to rework that many times.
Oh, I probably wrote 17 rewrites of this book. It was incredible. It took me so long to get it right, to get all the plot twists and all the details and all the winding kinds of theories pulled all together to make sense, to have an organic unity, and yet not be guessable from the beginning. That was so hard. And yeah, I rewrote and rewrote. I showed it to my writing group. All my favorite readers weighed in for me, and it was very much a group project.
Well, that's really good to hear, that somebody who comes out with a book that is this wonderful, that it was, you had to rewrite and rewrite.
Oh.
It gives the rest of us who are struggling with something, at least, you know, keep at it, keep rewriting.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Always, always. Writing is rewriting. There's no way around that. At least for me, that is true. And, you know, it's, I suppose, a little bit daunting. It can feel like you're never going to get done. But if you're working on a big project, just remember that every rewrite, every draft, that's where you bring in the real richness and the texture and the depth. And you have to be patient with your art.
Right. Now, are you still teaching writing?
I am. I teach every fall term. I am on campus at Portland State. And then in the winter, I teach online, and that's when I'm back in Miami. And then the spring, I don't teach. The spring, usually, I'm on book tour. So that's sort of how I've come to divide it up my year.
No, oh, that sounds like a nice way to spend your time.
Yes, yes.
Okay, well, we're just about out of time. I've been speaking with Diana Abu-Jabbar about her new novel, Origin. Diane, thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you. It's been a delight.